The message, the offertory message, is entitled "Give from Your Weakness." And in accordance to God's commands, we give, better yet, we return tithes and offerings, because all things belong to God. But do you really want God's attention as a giver? Do you really want to be noticed when you give to God, that is, noticed by God? Then let our offerings today, and whenever you give your tithes, let that inspire you to give out of an area where you are weak, to give out of an area of your life where you are poor. Over here in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41. "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" What was it about her gift that Jesus praised? What does it mean to give out of your poverty? And usually giving out of your poverty means giving out of very meager finances, a very small amount of money. But a spiritual lesson could be taken as that giving out of your poverty could be giving out of a place where you are weakened, where you are poor in. And you can be poor in other things than money. In a spiritual sense, giving out of your poverty could mean something else. Recall Jesus' words when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven." Hence, people who give out of their poverty can give out of other areas where they are weak, where they are poor. It doesn't necessarily have to always mean money. One can be poor in spirit. One could be poor in courage. You could be poor in happiness or poor in love. Jesus wants us to give out of an area of our lives where we feel we are weak, where you feel you are vulnerable, to give from that place where you're uneasy with. Are you poor in love? Are you weak in love? Then give from that area of your life. Go out and find someone and give any amount of love that you can give to someone. It's surprising. People who don't think they are love, it's surprising when they go out and find to extend love to someone, how much better they feel. Are you poor in courage? Are you weak in courage? Do you find it hard to stand up in a crowd and speak about God? Then give from that place. Sit amongst a group of persons and just simply pray. Or stand among a group of persons and just simply pray. Are you weak in relationships? Well, think about giving from that area of your life. Reach out. You'll be the one to initiate and communicate with someone, another brother and sister in the faith. Are you weak or poor in happiness? Or are you feeling unhappy? Well, give from that place. Go and find someone that you can feel happy about. Go and find someone and be glad about where they are, or be glad about what they accomplish. Chances are, when you feel happy about someone else, you will then start to feel happy about yourself. When you can give from your area of weakness, from your area of vulnerability, it won't go unnoticed by God. It's far more praiseworthy than just giving our 10%. Recall the widow, and Jesus had praiseworthy words to say about her. It turns out that her area of poverty, on the surface at least, was money. But because of her relationship with God, she gave abundantly from her area of weakness. In her trust in God, she was able to give all that she had from her poverty, from her vulnerability, from where she was weak. As far as God was concerned, as far as Jesus was concerned, that was not insignificant. She was able to give all that she had. It was very impacting. It was praiseworthy. And Jesus noticed it. She took all that she had from her area of weakness and gave it to God. As we give our offering today, and as we give our tithes, I challenge you and me as well. Let us think about going beyond our 10% and think about where we can give from our area of life that we might feel that we are weak in, that we are poor in, and offer that to God by serving the body of Christ. You can offer a word of encouragement. You can offer empathy. You can offer love. First Kings chapter 17, verse 7-14. We'll look at another passage that brings this out. First Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow to provide for you." And God is speaking to the prophet Elijah. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends the rain on the earth." So yet again, here's another story we can draw a lesson from: a widow. This was about 3.5 years of drought. And God sends Elijah to this widow. And she was living in financial straits. She was poor. She had reason to be concerned. There was no rain in the land. She couldn't grow anything. And where she was in Sidon, as we read earlier, which is a Phoenician city, a pagan city. Sorry, she wasn't located in ancient Israel, where persons were commanded to take care of the poor. So there was no welfare system where she was. So she didn't have very much options. As far as she was concerned, she and her son would starve after she made that meal for her and her son. And so it would be natural to fear, to be concerned. She had nothing to last, to eat beyond the day. But she was able to give out of her weakness. She was able to give out of her poverty. And you know, let's be honest, many persons in her place, in her shoes, would find it very hard to give in her particular situation. After all, she's in the midst of a famine that was going on for several years. Elijah now shows up. A visitor shows up. And in the midst of the drought, asks her for water. And you know what? Despite being in the midst of the drought, the widow was able to give him water. She went to get him the water. But that's not all. Elijah goes further. He asks her to even give from an even deeper place from within her poverty. Not only did he ask her for water, but he asked her for some food, for some bread. You know, the woman could have reacted, "Are you serious? Are you for real? Come on. I'm in a fast here. There's a fast going on, a drought. There's no water around. I barely have enough food for me and my son, let alone a third person. And you want me to give you food as well as the water? Come on." But you know what? Elijah doesn't back down from his request. He tells her not to be afraid. He tells her, go and make bread and give it to me first. Elijah is a representative of God. God wants your tithe first. God wants the first of your offering, or better yet, the best of your offering. First, what is most important to you. Likewise, God wants this widow to give him first by offering his representative, Elijah. The woman had a decision to make. Do I divide my last meal that is for me and my son and use the very little that I have left? This means I, my son, would not even bypass the hunger pains outside of today. She had to wonder, what should I do? She's thinking to herself, I barely have enough food left for me and my son. She's in her place of weakness. She's in her place of poverty. Does she have the courage, while in her weakness, to trust in God? She does. She made the bread, dividing what little she had, and she was able to give from her place of weakness, from her place of vulnerability, from her place of poverty, and give to God. Let's look at a few observations here. This woman was a believer in the true God of Israel. She heard God's promise to provide for her if she gave through Elijah, and she believed it. She was very poor financially. She didn't have very much money. She believed God's promise and first gave obediently to God. She was asked to give away a big part of what little she had. Could you give away a big part of what little you have? Could I give away a big part of what little I have? God then shows his care by providing for her miraculously. When we read the rest of the story, we know the jar didn't run out until the drought end. An amazing benefit of giving is that it releases us from the burden of our own financial needs. As we learn to trust God through giving, we can live confidently on what is left, that God will take care of it, because he will bless what is left after we give. Giving, and not necessarily giving money, yes, giving our tithes, giving our offering, giving your love, giving your service, giving your time, giving your listening ear, giving your empathy, giving your understanding. Giving is a freeing experience, and it connects us more closely to God. The ultimate outcome is that those who experience that a sense of intimacy with God are givers. Giving then becomes worship. Giving becomes a way of saying thanks to God for his grace and promised provision. Giving, especially if you can give out of your area of weakness, especially if you can give out of your area of vulnerability, especially if you can give from a place beyond your purse or beyond your pocketbook, becomes a deep part of a personal connection to God. As you give your offering today, or if you gave it online yesterday or tomorrow, and as we give our tithes in the future, let your trust and faith in God inspire you to give, not only from your pocketbooks, but let it inspire you to give out of a place of vulnerability, out of your place of weakness. In so doing, you will be truly blessed and noticed by God. Let me close with a proverb, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds that he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Let your tithes and let your offerings be a precursor to enable us, you to enable me, to give from your weakness.